Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Second Chronicles chapter 5, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated, and the silver and the gold and all the instruments he put among the treasures of the house of God. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Wherefore all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king in the feast, which was in the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the ark. And they brought up the ark and the tabernacle of the congregation and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle. These did the priests and the Levites bring up. Also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him before the ark sacrificed sheep and oxen, which could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place, to the oracle of the house, into the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread forth their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof above. And they drew out the staves of the ark, that the ends of the staves were seen from the ark before the oracle, but they were not seen without, and there it is unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables which Moses put therein at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not then wait by course. Also, the Levites, which were the singers of all them, of Asaph, of Haman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, be arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. And it came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever," that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so let's take a look at this short chapter, make some good uses out of it. First of all, it says the first few words of the chapter, let me just kind of boil them down into Solomon finished. That's a good word today. Solomon finished. There are many things that we start and do not finish. Many things where we lose diligence. Good works. Good things. Things we ought to do. And yet we fail of them. We do not finish. What is the key to finishing? Remaining diligent and with perseverance. And these are lost commodities today. Not lost entirely, but they are rare. You've heard me say this before, I'll say it again. There are folks that say to me, "Well, Pastor Riddell, I don't know what to do for a living." I say, get there, show up every day, work hard, protect the interest of your employer, and in 6 months you'll own the place. Not really. It's an exaggeration. But diligence and perseverance are rare today. Solomon finished. How did he finish? Because he started, He remained diligent. He persevered. And he came to the end. My dear brothers and sisters, let's not forget that the Bible does not idolize work, but it does present work as a gift from God to be taken up and used. Right? Okay, so that's the first section. The first point. The second point is we want to see the loyalty and obedience of Solomon. David is gone. He has died now. There are things that David has left behind for Solomon. And this first verse tells us that Solomon made a use of them exactly as David, his father, had reserved them for him to use. It would have been easy, wouldn't it? And who would have challenged Solomon if he would have said something like, okay, David's gone, let's innovate a little bit. David's gone, I think we need more brass and less gold. I think we need more, the walls ought to be higher. I think that, don't you think a window would be good here? We don't hear anything like that. All we hear is loyalty and obedience from Solomon to his father David in the building. And so that is also very, very good for us to follow by way of example. Not only to his father, David, but to his God, the one who gave to David all of the instructions for that temple. Right? In the worship of God, innovation is not a good thing. Not a good thing. Okay, so then we see also the bringing in of the ark. This is a really neat section. First of all, Solomon says, we're going to bring in the ark. So all of the elders of Israel are going to come in support of that. You're going to represent each of your tribes as we bring in the ark of God. We are going to celebrate as a nation by representative fashion. And so the elders of Israel come. They all come to Jerusalem. They all come to join in the great civil celebration because remember that Israel is a covenanted nation. A nation covenanted to God. And so all of the civil leaders will come and they will indeed partake of their covenantal responsibility before God. What an amazing thing to have a nation thus covenanted with God. And we're not opposed to that even in this day. That there would be in our civil establishment some way to acknowledge, some legal instrument to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as the God of heaven and the protector of nations. That we would have some way to acknowledge in our constitutional documents that righteousness exalts a nation and sin is a reproach to any people. What an amazing thing that would be. National covenanting is one way to do it. There are other ways to do that. We're not stuck on that one particular method. But what an amazing passage to hear that all of the civil leadership of Israel came in from all over the nation and congealed and fell upon Jerusalem for the bringing in of the Ark of the Covenant and the great religious ceremony that was there. Secondly, notice that they pursued after the due order. The Levites took up the Ark. With the staves, like they were supposed to. Not in the days of Uzzah. Not as in the days of David and Uzzah. But here now in the days of Solomon when, and that we're not sure exactly where within the city of Jerusalem the tabernacle and the ark was. Don't know where it was. Okay? But what we do know is that it went that day from that place wherever David had set it up into the temple that David had designed and Solomon had built in the city of Jerusalem up on the mount. And that's why it says they brought the Ark of God up. It went up to the top of that mountain. You know what mountain that is? Mount Moriah. That's the same mountain where God told Abraham to go and sacrifice Isaac. Mount Moriah. That's what it was called originally. Now, Zion. Okay, so the Levites are carrying the Ark with the staves. Or maybe it was like this, right? Because that would have been a lot to carry, so probably four guys. And so they bring it up, and then notice also that the Levites also carried all the appurtenances to the ark. tabernacle was folded up. We don't know what was done with those badger skins. We're not told what was done with all of that stuff that was in that temple. My conjecture is that the temple that Solomon built was so large that there were places to store that stuff permanently there. But there was a new place for the setting of the ark. And notice that when that ark was set down, what did they do? They drew the staves out of it. It's not going to be carried around anymore. They left the staves there, but they drew them out from the rings. Perhaps the first time since its putting into service in the days of Moses, the staves had actually been drawn out of the rings, set aside. And the Levites now, we see, they have a new duty in this passage. What are they doing? What do we see them doing? They set down that ark and then they take up that new duty, which is they sing and they play on trumpets and they play on harps. And while they are praising the Lord and the sacrifices are being offered, notice that the glory of God descends. God puts His stamp of approval upon that temple being built exactly as He had prescribed, because the glory of God fills that temple such that it runs everybody else out of there. The priests could not stand there any longer to minister because the glory of God descended upon that temple, just like it did upon the tabernacle when it was first put into its service. And of course, as we heard last week in the morning sermon, what? That glory eventually was designed to depart from that place. And what is it? Ezekiel 39:21, to rest among the Gentiles as it does this day. All right, thus ends the reading then of 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Let's